This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines, and we begin overseas in Afghanistan, where the relationship between the Karzai government in Afghanistan and the Obama administration is apparently increasingly strained. Now President Karzai over the weekend threatening to quit the political process and join the Taliban if he continued to come under outside pressure to pursue reform. That according to several members of parliament speaking today. Karzai made the statement at a closed-door meeting on Saturday with selected lawmakers just days after raising the stakes in a diplomatic controversy with remarks alleging that foreigners were behind fraud in last year's disputed elections. Lawmakers dismissed the latest rhetoric from Karzai as hyperbole, but it definitely adds to the impression the president, who relies on tens of thousands of U.S. and NATO forces to fight the insurgency led by the Taliban and his government, is increasingly erratic and unable to exert authority without attacking his foreign backers. According to one member of the parliament, Karzai said, quote, "If I come under foreign pressure, I might join the Taliban." While it might seem like ridiculous rhetoric, the member of parliament says that Karzai believes that then the rebellion would change to resistance, because if joining the Taliban, then the enemy would become the U.S. and NATO troops that would be supposedly occupying the country, rather than being requested to stay and fight and rout out the Taliban by the current Karzai government. For more insight on this very troubling statement potentially from President Karzai, head to worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org to catch my interview with terrorism expert Dr. Waleed Faris of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He also explains why Karzai couldn't possibly have anything to gain by actually joining forces with the Taliban, since the Karzai government is the main target of the Taliban at this time. Meanwhile, more bloodshed also next door in Pakistan, as radical Islamist militants unleashed a car bomb and grenade attack against a U.S. consulate in the northwestern part of the country, killing four people and striking back after months of American missile strikes against the Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters in that area. Earlier, a suicide bomber killed as many as 45 people and wounded more than 70 at a rally by a secular political party also in the northwest. The attacks follow a lull in violence since the beginning of the year, which suggests to some a resilience of the enemy. Staying in the Middle East, the nuclear situation in Iran makes time of the essence as the U.S. and our allies try to prevent that radical nation from acquiring nuclear weapons. Iran has recently said that the latest push towards crippling sanctions only encourages it to complete its work faster. Now, a couple of pieces of news coming from the United Nations, one better, one worse. First of all, on the Chinese front, one of the primary obstacles to the Security Council imposing tough sanctions on Iran, saying that it is now willing to consider sanctions much closer to the position of the United States and our allies. At the same time, though, the UN Security Council has released its schedule for April, and Iranian sanctions for its nuclear program, nowhere on the agenda. Japan is this month's president of the 15-member Security Council. According to its leader on the council, it's not yet clear when this might be taken up, and he says it may not be taken up. We'll also discuss that in the interview with Dr. Faris at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. Back here at home, at least two dead and more than 100 people injured following a 7.2 magnitude earthquake that struck right on the U.S.-Mexican border between Baja California and the actual state of California. The quake was felt by tens of millions, but at this point, there don't seem to be a tremendous number of casualties. And as far as we can tell, most structures are relatively intact as well. At least a half a dozen aftershocks with magnitudes of 5 to 5.4 were also reported. Meanwhile, it's a day of festivities for President Obama here in Washington. First of all, taking part in the annual Easter egg roll in the South Lawn of the White House. A beautiful day for that here in the nation's capital. Following that, the president threw out the first pitch of the baseball season for the hometown Washington Nationals. The first pitch was not a pretty sight. A big blooper way outside off of home plate, and unfortunately the day only got worse from there for the hometown Nationals as they got beat by the defending National League champion Philadelphia Phillies 11-1. Also at worldnetdaily.com today and dateline.radioamerica.org, my conversation with Diana Furchgott-Roth, who once served as chief economist for the Department of Labor for President George W. Bush. She explains why the March jobs report is a little bit of good news and quite a bit of bad news. She'll explain where most of those new jobs came from. She'll also explain why she thinks the president's health care package is an absolute job killer as a result of all the new taxes being imposed. Also, over this past weekend, in a published report, Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens says he will be retiring either this year or next year. Most signs point to this year, since he'll be 90 in just a couple of weeks. one of the longest-serving justices in history and certainly the liberal leader on the court. Stevens has said he wants to be replaced while President Obama is still in office. We'll talk about that, the Stevens record, and the potential confirmation fight to come with Ed Whalen of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. He's also a former clerk for Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Again, all of that, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.